Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Badge of Honor by Haley Edwards, narrated by Rebecca Mitchell. 1. Star Trek was a mistake as far as wedding themes go. I could admit that now, as I watched Midas get fitted with a pair of Vulcan ears that tapered to delicate points. His golden blonde hair had grown out over the last few months. I should have gone with Legolas from the Lord of the Rings movies over Spock. Legolas. Talk about a missed opportunity. Still, he made Spock sexy. I wasn't offended by how he filled out his Starfleet-inspired tux even a little. Well, Neely studied Midas from tip to toe with a critical eye. What do you think, Mr. Groom? Deep grooves furrowing his brow, Midas spun the question around on me. What do you think? Both men focused on me, eager for my reaction. But my tongue was tied in knots. Maybe my brain, too. Honey, Neely dabbed the corners of my mouth with a linen napkin. You're drooling. Neely Torres worked with me back in my days as a ghost tour guide in Savannah. Thanks to the charmed ring I wore that skewed my features toward Hadley and away from Amelie, he didn't recognize me. I was grateful for that, mostly. But I was also a teeny tiny bit sad I couldn't hug him for old time's sake without making it weird. He was on loan to me from Greer, who also met him through Haint Misbehavin' Ghost Tours. These days, he worked for her full time. From hair to nails to shoes, he designed the facades responsible for making her appear every inch the high society dame she had become. As well as a kick-ass potentate. And every facet in between. Lucky me, he was the man with a plan for my Trekkie wedding. I can't believe how this tux screams, "Beam me up, Scotty," I answered them truthfully. I thought it would come off as tacky, or geeky, or, oh, girl. A snort blasted out Neely's nose. It's geeky as geeky gets, but I was aiming for geek chic. Dressed in dark wash jeans, a French blue button-down shirt and loafers, he was the definition of chic. His chunky black glasses made him look 10 years younger, like a kid fresh out of college. He was aging in reverse. Our very own Benjamin Button. You nailed it. I bit my bottom lip. He's gorgeous. I cleared my throat. The suit, I mean. Neely's gaze slid to where his husband stood. I know exactly what you meant. Cruz wasn't much of a people person, which made them an even more striking couple, since Neely was downright effervescent. His husband, every bit as human as Neely, wasn't much of a shield against a Gwilgi or a necromancer, but you would never know it from his vigilant stance or how his keen eyes swept the room before landing on Neely each and every time, as if he couldn't help being drawn back to him. Here was a man aware that monsters existed and that his husband had chosen to walk among them.
It's comfortable.
Midas rolled his shoulders, testing his mobility.
Not the ears, but the suit.
The ears make the suit. I winked at Neely behind Midas's back. In fact, can we leave those on? Midas caught my eye in the floor-length mirror, and a grin ticked in his cheek.
No.
Aw. I popped out my bottom lip. Please? Save it for the wedding night. Neely leaned closer to whisper in my ear. The glue we'll be using on the big day is hell to remove. I see why you're so tight with Greer. I linked my arm through his out of habit. You're an enabler. Part of it is my job, he confessed while spreading his hands. But the rest is my nature.
10 minutes, Cruz said, checking his expensive-looking watch. Then we have to go.
Client dinner, Neely explained. Cruz has to schmooze. His husband gave no sign of laughing at the joke, but his aura somehow lightened under Neely's smile. The bubbly accountant and the beast. An oversimplification of who they were, but I would so watch that movie.
I appreciate you squeezing us in on short notice. Midas was already on the books for his next fitting, so the timing was perfect.
In addition to decking out my entire bridal party, he was also dressing me for my other big day. I've had 2 years to get ready for this. I wiped my palms dry on my pants. How am I not there yet? Concern in every line of his face, Midas pivoted toward me, but Neely narrowed his eyes on the Gwilji. I might have laughed at Midas being cowed by the squinty designer, but I was too jittery. I also couldn't blame him for not wanting to risk the tux. It was a masterpiece, almost as beautiful as what it contained. The ceremony to make me the official potentate of Atlanta was in days. Days, not weeks or months or years. Days. We view big goals as distant and unobtainable for so long, Neely soothed, keeping a warning eye on Midas. It doesn't feel real when we achieve them. I haven't proven it obtainable yet. Linus believes you will. Greer, too. And I would never bet against them. Greer believed the best of people, but Linus tended toward caution. His faith humbled me. You don't count, I informed Midas, who growled at the exclusion. You're too biased in my favor.
You can do anything you set your mind to, Hadley.
His gaze bored into me.
That's not bias. It's fact.
Warm tingles spread through my chest at his absolute faith in me.
We need to hurry this along, Cruz said, joining us, or we'll be late.
Left to my own devices, Neely conceded. I never shut up when I go visiting. I almost messed up and said, I miss our long talks, but I recovered. Enjoy our conversations.
Me too.
He gave me one of his eye-crinkling grins.
Okay, back to business before Cruz tosses me over his shoulder and carries me out of here.
He wet his lips. Not that I would complain, mind you. Cruz bent down to kiss Neely's jaw and whispered in his ear words I couldn't hear. With a flush climbing Neely's neck into his cheeks, he checked a calendar app on his phone.
I'll be back in 4 weeks for your dress fitting.
He cleared his throat. I'll email you the date and the best times so you can work me into your schedule.
Maybe the next time you're in town,
Midas the grumpy mannequin said.
We can all do dinner.
It feels like I've known Hadley forever. Neely lit up the room with his smile. I would love to spend more time with you, too.
So would Cruz, right, Honeybun?
Cruz made a noise partway between a grunt and a growl that Neely interpreted as agreement.
See?
He leaned his head on Cruz's shoulder. We're practically best friends already. The admission he gravitated toward me, this new me, melted my insides to goo and gave me hope we might reestablish our friendship given time.
Thanks again.
I walked the couple to the door. You're a lifesaver.
Francis?
He called to his assistant, who sat in the kitchen beside 2 boxes of donuts I'd left on the counter for our guests.
Can you help our groom out of his clothes?
I volunteer as a tribute, I yelled, shooting an arm into the air.
I don't trust that look in your eyes.
Neely clucked his tongue. You might tear the wrapper trying to get to the candy. He waved Francis in. I have to go, but you know the drill. Bag it, tag it, and bring it to the hotel.
Hand pressed to Neely's lower back, Cruz guided his husband out the door, then shut it behind them.
I was surprised he didn't lock it, too, in case Neely tried to duck back in with one last anecdote.
In the hall, I heard Neely's mouth running a mile a minute until the elevator's sliding doors muted him. Francis emerged with powdered sugar dusting his lips and somehow also a milk mustache.
I bet he forgot to mention he brought Mr. Kynes a tie to match your pantsuit for the coronation.
Coronation wasn't the right word, but it was close enough, and it had a nice ring to it.
That was very thoughtful of him. Neely's attention to detail didn't surprise me one bit.
You might want to wash up before you handle the suit. I traced a finger around my mouth.
Always remember to erase the evidence.
The process of packing away the suit took a good 20 minutes, given all the donut breaks Francis took in between stages. I mean, I admired a man who knew what he wanted, then went out and got it. Even if it was a half dozen powdered sugar bliss rings and a half gallon of milk. A knock on the door brought my head around, and I excused myself to see who had come calling.
Bish! I rushed into the hall and shut the door on my heels. It's bad luck to see the groom before his wedding day.
Bishop handed me a cafe mocha, which was piping hot, and frowned.
More superstitious society mumbo-jumbo.
As far as Gwilgi were concerned, Midas and I were mated, and that was that.
Let the HEA begin.
The society, however, was big on weddings. My family expected one, and Midas wanted me to have one. That meant I got to plan it.
Wah-ha-ha.
Poor Midas. He was probably regretting his life choices right about now. Oh, well, things could be worse. For him, I mean. I could still pour him into tight leather pants and a tunic, slap on a flowing platinum blonde wig, and force him to carry a faux bow of the Galadrim during the ceremony.
Legolas.
I jolted from my fantasies when Bishop snapped his fingers at the end of my nose. Mostly, I don't want you to embarrass him. I glared at him. Laugh all you want, after the ceremony.
I heard that, Midas called through the door,
reminding us that Gwilgi hearing was excellent. Jerking my head toward the elevator, I invited Bishop to take a ride.
How's our night shaping up?
The fitting only cost me 2 hours, and it was well worth it for the years alone.
I'm not sure what shape I would call it.
Scratching his cheek, he rolled a shoulder.
Pear-shaped?
We stepped into the car, and I mashed the button for the lobby.
That's bad, right?
The obstacle course was found trashed after sundown.
He watched my reflection in the silvery panels.
The hurdles have been busted, the ropes cut, the balancing beam sawed in too. You get the picture.
Before I modeled Neely's latest on stage to take my final bows, I first had to supply entertainment in the form of running a magical gauntlet to prove my worthiness prior to the official vote that sealed the deal. The exact nature of my exhibition, which was more a showcase of my skills than proof of worthiness, had remained a closely guarded secret until last month, when Linus tore open a sealed envelope that held the details within. Yup,
I got 30 whole days to prepare. The gauntlet focused on my ability to neutralize supernaturals common to Atlanta. To win, I had to start at point A and reach point B with a pulse. Easy, right? Lost limbs made you look like a noob, but they didn't disqualify you. From what I could tell, not much counted as a no-no once you got inside the gauntlet. But with amputation spanning an entire page in the rulebook, I had concerns. I could only imagine how many apprentices had lost body parts for the purpose of amusing the Grand Dame, who presided over the transference of power, and the other faction heads. A chill skittered down my spine, recalling the last spectacle the Grand Dame officiated on my behalf. The murder trial in Savannah kicked off by outing me as a Dybbuk and a killer, then ended with my disownment when my parents turned their backs on me. Yeah, I was super excited to be at her mercy again. Someone wants me to fail. I twirled a finger. Do they think wrecking my practice field will stop me? Do your job well, and you were bound to make enemies. I did my job very well, and I had the enemies to prove it.
No one who's met you would think that, no.
He hesitated.
There's also an additional complication.
Life was going smoothly there for about a minute, so I figured my boat was about to get rocked.
A woman named Sue Billiard arrived in the city today. I had Reese run a background check. She was the potentate of Phoenix, but she stepped down after she got pregnant, with quintuplets. That was 13 years ago.
5 babies at one time? I crossed my legs in sympathy, even though I was sure quints were a one-way ticket to a C-section. No wonder she quit her day job.
That's not the best part.
What is the best part? I read his expression. There is no best part, is there?
Not even close.
He sucked on his teeth.
She wants her old job back. Here. In Atlanta.
The wind got knocked out of my sails so fast I coughed until Bish hit me on the back. Why Atlanta? I wheezed as my lungs inflated. There must be other cities, ones without apprentices. Sue Billiard had massive lady balls to swagger into town at the last minute and attempt a coup. And no, that was not a pun on her last name, just a statement of fact.
Her husband, Sean, is a Selkie. She must think Lake Lanier would suit him as a swimming pool.
The man-made lake was formed by the completion of Buford Dam on the Chattahoochee River, and it sat an hour northeast of Atlanta. It was the largest lake in the state. It was also the deadliest. A Selkie, I mused. Just what every cursed lake needs. The lake had earned its cursed title for its high number of fatalities and the 20 cemeteries displaced during its creation. Underwater ghost towns, complete with roads, homes, and businesses, left to flood, dotted the lake's bottom. Farms, too. Years ago, drought even exposed stadium seating for a racetrack that was ditched in favor of progress. Nostalgia for the good old days had me thinking I might share a few ghost stories with Greer, gauge her interest in expanding her business north for select nighttime ghost tours on dark water. Haint Misbehavin', the pontoon boat edition. Frack. I was compartmentalizing again, shoving aside my fear in favor of whimsy. But a contender. For my title. For my city. For my future. The full scope of this complication sucker-punched me, and I shut my eyes to stop the room spinning. I didn't know this could happen, I admitted, voice tight. I thought it was me or no one.
This is a unique situation. She's trained, she's served, and she's available. She can apply to any city with a vacancy.
Hands bawling at my sides, I growled, Atlanta isn't vacant.
Cities are most vulnerable during the days leading up to a vote.
Atlanta's paranormal communities had had a rough year thanks to the Witchborn Fae crisis. I had to look at myself, my actions, and ask if I could have saved more lives or minimized the property damage. Had I done this to myself? Put the citizens in a position where another potentate, any other potentate, looked better than me? Not enough. Not enough. Not enough. Pressing mute on that familiar nagging mantra, I diverted my attention to forming a plan of action. Beat Sue. Simple. Effective. I liked it. I can't believe she waited so long to announce her candidacy.
Her goal is to throw you off your stride, Bishop warned. You can't let her get in your head.
Too late. I thumped my skull on the wall. She booked an extended stay in the paranoia suite. We hit the lobby, and I couldn't decide if I wanted to go for a run or find a nice closet to scream in. This is the last thing I need right now. I hated the whine in my voice. The wedding is in 6 months.
The wedding, no offense, isn't life or death.
He hit a button to shut the doors.
This final test can be.
She's going to target me. This painted a bullseye between my shoulders. I bet she's got good aim.
The gauntlet is no holds barred, but she touches a hair on your head outside it and she's disqualified.
He sounded happy about that.
She'll also be banned for life from applying to the position in any city. Same goes for you. That's plenty of deterrent to keep you both honest.
He cocked an eyebrow.
Not that I worry about you minding your manners.
I've worked too hard for this to let someone steal it out from under me on a technicality. I would let her eat my liver if she asked. I would even hand her a knife and fork. Maybe salt and pepper.
You spend too much time with Gwilgi.
He eyed me oddly.
Necromancers don't eat one another's livers.
He might have a point about the Gwilgi. But I dared him to judge me after eating his way through one of their famous cookouts. Who in their right mind wouldn't hang with them for all-you-can-eat brisket? A buzz in my pocket alerted me to a call, and I answered, figuring it was Midas checking in. Hey.
Hadley.
I'm sorry. I put the call on speaker and caught Bishop's eye. Fey ears were sharp. I can't hear you.
This is Cruz. Torres.
A lump formed in my throat, and I had to swallow before I could talk through it. Mr. Torres. I kept my tone calm while I shook inside at his thready voice. Are you okay?
They took him.
His breath hissed from between his teeth.
Neely.
Who took your husband? I waited, but only heard his labored breathing. Mr. Torres?
Vampires,
he panted.
They were...
The uptick in my pulse summoned Ambrose, but after he saw no immediate threat, he retreated back into the shadows. Where are you? I smacked the button for the top floor with my palm. Can you tell me your location? The line remained open. Sirens and traffic blaring in the background, but he didn't answer. Hold on, Cruz. I did my best to comfort him. Help is coming, for both of you. Bishop already had his phone in hand, waiting for my orders.
We had to move fast, and he knew it.
Call Greer. I kept my cell to my ear. Find out if she can track the Torres' cell phones.
The OPA embedded software into the phones issued to its members to make tracking easier in the event of an emergency. Since Linus had implemented the idea in Atlanta, I could only hope he had encouraged Greer to do the same in her city with her people. But it was a recent safety measure, one we hadn't fully embraced on personal use cells yet. Storming across the hall as soon as the elevator released me, I bowled into the apartment and filled in Midas.
Phone, please.
I waited for him to hand his over, then dialed Reese. Get me eyes on Cruz Torres. Between the cameras mounted by the OPA and the feeds we mooched from the city, we had eyes in the sky across Atlanta. The coordinates from Cruz's phone would tell Reese where to look when we got them, but he was also playing with facial recognition software that might hurry things along.
Will do.
He clicked keys in the background.
The more info you can get me, the faster I can work.
Bishop was on the phone with Greer at my elbow, and he shot me a thumbs up to say it was a go.
I'm on it.
I ended the call and returned my attention to my phone.
Mr. Torres?
The line was dead. The call had ended while I rushed to get help. Not a good sign. Greer might be my former best friend, but she was the potentate of Savannah and Dame Woolworth. Neely and Cruz were both in her employ, not to mention her close friends, and they were visiting Atlanta under my auspices. Now Neely was missing, and Cruz's condition was unknown.
Frack.
I braced my palms on the kitchen counter. This is bad. And it was about to get worse. 2. One miserably long hour later, I had dented the wall leading into HQ's kitchen by banging my head against it. Okay, fine. The wall was reinforced. All I had done was smudge it with sweat. In fact, I'm pretty sure it was mocking me. I, however, had earned a beauty of a headache to act as the cherry on top of my frustration sundae.
I've got a visual,
Reese announced from behind his shadowy screen at HQ.
Incoming.
Shoving away from the wall, I invaded Bishop's personal space at his command center.
Where is he?
I kept watch on the lower screens while Reese patched through a live feed.
Goddess.
The white room with its muted gray tile floors was chock full of beeping, flashing medical equipment.
It could be worse.
Bishop shooed me.
A human hospital isn't the most terrible place for a human.
Hand on his chair, I drummed my fingers until he swatted at me. How do we have this?
We tracked Cruz's phone to Gershwin Memorial,
Reese mumbled.
We have paid informants at all the hospitals, so I contacted an RN on the payroll. He recorded this footage on his phone, then texted it to me for verification.
The reason it had taken an eternity to locate Cruz was the area where Neely vanished. They had been on their way to an upscale restaurant to meet with Cruz's client when a ubiquitous black SUV screeched up to the curb at Marx's on the corner. Two men hopped out. One aimed straight for Cruz, knocking him unconscious. The other went straight for Neely, scooping him over his shoulder as if he were light as a feather, and ducking back in the SUV with his prize. From the video resourced, there was no doubt that Neely had been the target. None whatsoever. The question was, why? His ties to Greer? His much thinner ties to me? Or, least likely, given Neely was universally loved by all who knew him, a personal vendetta?
The good news, bad news was the abduction happened in full view of many well-off patrons. That meant the police got called on the
sample complete. Ready to continue?